Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
And we're back here on Inside Black and Gold. And as promised, we're going to get to the Saints stock watch. Thankfully, a bit better than the actual stock watch of reality, which I don't want to talk about because my investments are not going well. But any investment you have in the Saints these days is going to feel good. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Steve Geller. And so, yeah, let's just get right into it. Steve, who would you say is your let's start with the stock down players. Let's start with the bad and end with the good. Ooh. Who would you say is your stock down player after three practices? And keep in mind, you know, we got three practices over the past 3 weeks. We're going to get three practices in 3 days next week. So this really means nothing beyond, I think this player has a bit, you know, they're coming into minicamp with more to prove. Like, they have to show up and do better, which they should. They very well could. So don't take this as, oh, we're out on this player. Take this as this guy did not help his stock, maybe struggled a bit at OTAs and needs to pick it up. So who would your stock down player be after three OTA practices?
No, like you said, it's not like I'm totally off of this player at all and think he's not going to make the team. But picking on a rookie and six-round draft pick, A.T. Perry, who's had a pretty tough go in these early goings, coming in, you kept hearing about strong hands, contested catches, and we really haven't seen that in those three sessions that we've gotten to see. You mentioned him, you know, obviously that last segment of should have coming down with that ball in the end zone from Jameis Winston. Really unfortunate because it was it looked like a perfect pass and situation there, and he just, I don't know, maybe he'll come alive when the pads are on kind of thing, but 6'3", 205, just hasn't really caught my eye enough for the right reasons.
No, I think that's a good answer. And I've talked about it. And you know, like, Marcus Colston had a very rough start to his first training camp as well.
Point,
people
right.
pointed that out. And he's a 6th-round pick, right? Like, he's not a guy you would anticipate just shows up and balls out from day one, or at least, you know, it's not something you would expect. Maybe he could, but you're not going to be like, wow, he has no chance because he didn't show up day one and just moss everybody. That said, he's got to be better. You got to make the team first. Like, that's got to be your first priority. And right now, if you had to pick the roster today, if you had to pick a 53-man roster today, he would not be on it.
Agreed.
And, you know, that's not a crazy thing to say about a 6th-round pick. Jordan Jackson didn't make the roster last year. He was a 6th-round pick. So, you know, it's you got to go out there and earn it. And I think this is a deep roster. There might be some cracks in it more so this year than years past, where you can maybe find some extra spots on there. But this stiff competition. And so you're going to have to figure that out. The guy I would say came in with all the, I don't want to say hype, but he came in with all the excitement around him. Is a UDFA, is Nick Anderson. I like Nick Anderson a lot, but, you know, everyone wants to see Nick Anderson make this roster. All the locals want to see Nick Anderson make the roster. But what people need to remember is he's not going to make the roster because he's got a fun story. The Saints don't do that. They don't. Just like, they didn't pick Tajay Spears when he was on the board. They picked Kendra Miller, a guy who hasn't even been able to practice yet because he's got a knee injury, right? If they were concerned about, you know, health, Tajay was right there. So, like, they're not going to do anything for Nick that they wouldn't do for anybody else just because he's got a fun story. And yesterday, and I like, all I can go off of is the three practices we saw, right? Like, I'm not going to make any extra analysis on, okay, maybe he's doing really well in the classroom, maybe he's doing this. All I saw yesterday was him getting picked on in team drills in coverage, right? And for him to make this roster, to latch on as a, even as a practice squad guy, he's going to have to show that he can cover because he is an undersized linebacker. He can't be a Sam. I don't think he profiles to the mic. I think he is a Will or nothing, or maybe a converted safety, maybe a Landon Collins type player. But you got to be able to cover tight ends. And those were the players that were beating him up. We talked about Jesse James catching a touchdown. It was over Nick Anderson, right? You got to be able to compete there, and he hasn't. Again, he's not wearing pads. He's not able to hit anybody. So he's got a lot of time to make an impact. But if you were hopeful to see him kind of go out and make a bunch of splash plays the way Jordan Howden has, that has not been the case. So he's my stock down player right now. I think it's a little unfair, but I had to pick somebody, and he's it for me. One other player who might be an honorable mention, and I can give you one of these as well. And it's, again, it's very unfair, but it's Eno Benjamin. And I don't know what he's dealing with from a health perspective, but man, these are the practices where you had a chance to show up and prove like you got something, you got some juice, and he just hasn't been able to contribute. And I'm like, I'm not going to hold the injury against him, but like, this, you're, Alvin's going to be there next week, right? You know, like the running backs are going to start filling in. Kendra Miller is going to be available eventually.
Right. When you had this time to start getting some work in, and you're not doing nothing.
Right. Like this was a prime opportunity where it's basically Jamal Williams and a bunch of UDFAs. This was when you could have like kind of made some inroads, and he just wasn't able to do it. So, you know, to me, that's some stock down of, you know, maybe he could have shown up and made some splash plays over these couple days where he was basically the only guy in town along with the newcomer in Jamal, and he just wasn't able to. So he's another guy that, like, again, we're not going off of much, but that's something where it's like, this is when I wanted to see him, and he hasn't been out there.
No, and he's just all around been a big question, obviously. Even when he was, you know, healthy last year, we didn't see him get much run at all.
Exactly. And I don't know what the injury is. He wasn't injured at the end of last season. So what could he be dealing with now? I don't know. He has been out there. He has been participating from that perspective. So it's like, you can't complain about that. I just think it's disappointing for a guy like that, who I think has an uphill climb to potentially make this roster to begin with. He's going to have to do it on special teams. He's going to have to do it in ways that are not RB1. And you just haven't seen it. So that's my other stock down guy.
Yeah, the stock down market, it's really tough to, you know, pull names at this point, just because of the limited viewing and the fact that we're not seeing much going on. But yeah, we're just giving you what we've kind of seen kind of thing. And yeah, for me, other than, like I said, Perry, really there hasn't been another guy that's been such a huge letdown for me. So I don't have an honorable mention for stock down. I did have one for stock up, who you just mentioned though.
We'll get into that in a second. One more I'll give you, and it's only because of opportunity. It's Keith Kirkwood. I don't know why.
You're right there.
Derek Carr
has
been throwing to him a lot. Derek Carr has been giving him opportunities. He just hasn't made them. Yeah. And like, this was a chance for Keith Kirkwood to maybe steal a spot on the roster. He made some splash plays. He got targeted twice in the end zone. He couldn't make the catch. You know, maybe there was a hold on one of them. Still fight through that, make the catch. You know, so I don't even think it's technically stocked down, but it's more of a missed opportunity, I think I would classify it as. Because I was talking to Nick Underhill, and I was like, somebody needs to go tell Derek Keith Kirkwood isn't his top target. He's gotten chances, you know, in ways that I did not expect. Kwon Baker's also got a few targets, and he's made those catches. He's gotten open. So, yeah, I mean, I think if you're on the Keith Kirkwood train, which I like Keith Kirkwood a lot, probably a missed opportunity for him.
Yeah, I feel like even like a Traquan has done more than Keith Kirkwood at this point.
Spoilers. I talked about Traquan in the last episode, so he's not technically going to be my stock up player, but we'll start with him because okay. I do want to let you hear what Dennis Allen said about him and know that his stock is definitely up. And we don't even have to talk about it because he caught 3 touchdowns yesterday.
Look, I think Traquan's another one of those guys that you know, over the last couple of years, man, he's had to do a lot of the dirty work. And I don't know that he has been at full health for the last couple of years. I think he's healthy right now, and so I see him being a valuable piece of what we're trying to get accomplished. And look, I think there's going to be some good competition in that receiver room.
And yeah, I like you go into every offseason being like, maybe this is the year Traquan gets cut. If he plays the way he did yesterday and he has the type of energy he did yesterday and he stays healthy, he's making this roster.
Yeah, that's definitely one that I've, for whatever reason, he always draws my ire. I'm always out to get Traquan, it seems like. I think we probably picked on him a lot last year, too. But yeah, you can't argue what he's done at this point. And the fact that he's got the experience, obviously, in this system is going to make him a tougher out. And I feel like he's had good chemistry with Jameis. It'll be interesting to see how it develops more with Derek Carr.
I think he had a bit more chemistry with Drew than he did with Jameis, personally. I mean, it's easy to forget. Traquan Smith caught 2 touchdowns in the divisional playoff game in 2020. He caught a touchdown pass in a must-win game in 2021 from Trevor Siemian against the Falcons. I think it was Trevor Siemian. Also, it might have been Taysom Hill. I can't recall. It was in that game that Taysom Hill got hurt and Trevor Siemian took over. That was a game the Saints desperately had to win. And at the time, it felt like that was a win that got them to the playoffs. Obviously, the Rams did not cooperate and blew a lead to the 49ers. But, like, he's made big catches in big moments. He's had a 10-catch game. So, like, when you talk about, Bobby Hebert always wants to say skins on the wall, right? Like, that's – like, have you done it before? He has. And, I don't know – like, that – the fact that he does all the dirty work, too, makes it a lot easier to keep him on the roster. But he has also contributed. If he can be more consistent, you feel like – yeah, it makes sense to keep him around. And he's catching touchdown passes from Jake Haener. He's looking good. He's spiking it over the goalposts. I think his stock is definitely up. But that was kind of just the catch-all. Who is your kind of official stock-up player from the first 3 days of OTAs?
You mentioned Jordan Howden. He's definitely one of those guys that, to me, has impressed. I like the pursuit I've seen, his change of direction even, the breaking on the ball. Been good in coverage. The safety was a fifth round pick out of Minnesota. But number one for me is a fifth rounder from last year in linebacker DeMarco Jackson. I think he's taken advantage of those opportunities. Some other guys, we've talked about haven't been, where this is the time they need to step it up. Jackson, you see that speed sideline to sideline. He's broken up some passes and just really mainly been working with the second team defense, I'll say, at middle linebacker at the moment, but a guy that I'm interested very much to see more of and excited for DeMarco because he missed obviously all of last year. So it's like a redshirt year for him.
I agree with that. I think DA said yesterday he's been working at the mic, which makes sense. I think he does profile as a mic linebacker. And that's good because I think you do need to figure out if DeMario Davis misses a game, who takes over? Do you move Pete Werner over there and figure it out? I don't think so. I think you're actually weaker at the depth behind Pete Werner, and you want to keep him at the will in that kind of volume tackler kind of idea. So who would take over if DeMario misses a game? I don't know who would take over if Pete Werner misses a game either. So like the kind of ironing out that depth is going to be a big question in training camp, and it's going to kind of determine whether you kind of need to go out and find somebody and bring them in. Right now, I don't think you're planning to do that because I think DeMarco has had a good start. So I think that's a good pick.
You mentioned Werner, and real quick coming to mind, maybe Orji, but we haven't seen enough, obviously.
Yeah, I think it's tough to get a really good read on Orji. I don't know if he's a will. I think he's more of I think he's going to compete with DeMarco. I just don't know if he can cover. I think that's been kind of the question about him coming out of Vanderbilt. It's one of the reasons he didn't get drafted is I don't know if he is that kind of cover linebacker. I would look more toward Nephi Sewell, maybe Nick Anderson for that job. And then, someone's got to play Sam. Someone's got to contribute on special teams and be a kind of dual threat there. So, it's possible. I think Orji moves really well. Just don't know if the coverage instincts are there. So we'll figure that out. But there was a few options that I kind of looked at for the stock up player. Lucas Krull is a guy who I think, I don't know if you can say stock up because I think his stock felt like it was high last year because he's impressive as a pass catcher. He moves. You see him running around. You're like, man, that guy can fly. But that's not the question with him. The question is, can he block? And that's what's going to be the determining factor of does he get on the field at some point. But you can definitely see the vision for him as a potential receiving tight end.
Yeah, that's a good point too. Like I said, one of the segments when we were talking about tight end, suddenly that group seems a lot more, has a lot more depth than we anticipated, I think.
Yeah, it went from who the hell is going to play tight end to like, oh man, there's so many tight ends
out
there.
Who are we going to keep, right?
Yeah, who's getting cut? You know, and I thought Malik Flowers had a good day yesterday. He would be an option, but I think the correct answer for stock up has to be Blake Groupie.
Everyone's like, who?
I mean, I outweigh this guy by 50 pounds. He's 5'7", one. Let's see. I'm gonna read you the listing on the roster, which they typically will weigh these guys soaking wet, right? Like,
yeah,
they're not underselling weights on this roster. Blake Groupie is listed as 5'7", 156. Now, he's a kicker. You don't have to go out there and make tackles, although in some instances, it's nice when you can. He's not going to be confused for Thomas Morstead. That's for sure. He's not going to be confused for Lou Headley. That's for sure. Guy who was definitely punting it off the ceiling yesterday. Got a cannon for a leg. But what he did do is go out there at the end of the final OTA practice. This is the first time we've really seen him kick. He went 5 for 5, and his final kick was either 58 or 59 yards, and it had some space over the bar. Right. Now, this is indoors. There's no wind. It's a controlled environment. This is no pressure. There's no game pressure. But, you know, that kick was about a third of his weight, if you compared the yardage to the pounds. And if you're going in and you're saying, okay, Will, I don't think Will's going to lose the job out of camp. But if Will has the type of struggles he had last year and suddenly you're like, man, we got to find something. You know, I think you look at this guy and you're like, okay, I can see the vision. And that's a big jump up from a stock perspective from where I was seeing that guy in the locker room and thinking maybe he was one of the players like nephews or something. He's so small.
Right. It's like you saw DeMario Davis's kid hanging out. You're like, hey, who's this kid?
About the same size. DeMario Davis's kid is like 10.
But I'm definitely impressed, obviously, being able to hit 58, 59 yards because, like you said, not an imposing, I don't want to say, you know, like kickers have to be these huge guys either, but it just amazes me. You think 5'7", and you're still able to get that kind of swing or momentum from your kick. I don't know really the dynamics of what goes into it, honestly, but it's definitely impressive. I thought obviously being 6 for 6 on the day, going out with that bang on the long one, he would be honorable mention for me for sure.
And he's a rookie kicker. You would profile that. He probably will get a little stronger, and I don't know if that's going to affect your kick distance, but I think as you're a professional kicker, it should, right? Like you should be able to maybe get some more yardage a few years into your career from compared to where you are on the first three practices of your NFL career. So, you know, I think they cut Alex Quevedo. They like Blake Groupie. I don't think he's going to make the roster. I don't think it's really going to be a competition in camp between him and Will Lutz. But, you know, I think you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, maybe we have a stash here, and you're gonna look at him. But if we're talking about stock, I think he opened a lot of eyes with that kicking session, and you're gonna go from there.
And definitely, we obviously, you talk about injuries to anybody, but you have to have that short list of players sometimes, you know, that list of guys to go to. And I'm sure they'd still bring in maybe some other veterans to work out kind of thing, but you know what you have in this kid right now. And yeah, it could be something that they call upon if Lutz struggles, if he gets hurt kind of thing. And yeah, we'll just see how Groupie continues to develop going forward in training camp. Another Notre Dame guy added to the roster. Well, not added to the roster, but brought in right now this year.
Nice, technically on the roster right now. We'll close this out with a guy who I think his stock has stayed the same, but that still feels low, and that needs to change over the next month, 2 months, because he's going to be a very important piece on this roster, and that's Peyton Turner. Here's what Dennis Allen had to say about kind of what his expectations are, what he has to do.
With a lot of these guys, you know, they're out here every day, and they're working, and they're continuing to get better, and Peyton's no different than any of the other guys, and I think really for all of this, I don't think this is about trying to make a final evaluation on anything. This is just, how am I getting better each day that I come out here? And I think all of our guys are working to do that.
What's the biggest thing he needed to work on besides improved health?
Well, I think that's number one. It's really hard to make an assessment because he hasn't been available enough. And so he certainly has the talent. you know, and so it's really about being out here and being able to be available every day.
And I think that's something we get into, you know, like it's not necessarily the availability in games either. It's the availability to practice. Like you talk about 3 years in, you can't make an evaluation on this guy. It's not because he hasn't played in games. It's because there's points where he's just not available to practice and you're not getting the type of looks at him that you need to be getting. And so to me, you know, I want to see him out there. I want to see him participating all throughout camp. I want to see him staying healthy and working hard. And, you know, that when you get to this point and you're still hearing that, you start to question the commitment level for a guy. And to me, you know, that does drop your stock, but he has been out there every day. We've been at OTAs. He has been working. Maybe this is the year you kind of turn that around. I'd like to come back and do another version of this later in the preseason where I'm saying stock way up. And so because that's going to be a big question, I think, on the defensive line, which I would argue is still probably the biggest question mark of this roster is okay, who's going to contribute? Who's going to be in that rotation? You know, Cam Jordan's there. Who's starting across from him? Is it Carl Granderson? Is it Peyton Turner? You know, are you kicking somebody out from the inside? I don't know. I think Colin Saunders has the body type where he can kick out. We'll find that out. But I think that's going to be a big question.
Yeah, with Turner, he's kind of my, you know, kicking, whatever you want to say, guy I've been down on. Like on offense, it's been Traquan. For me on the defensive side, Turner obviously not being able to stay healthy. We just haven't really seen much from him at all, at least with a guy even like Marcus Davenport when he was on the field. There were times he dominated offensive linemen and you saw him being able to, you know, push them around kind of thing. For me, Peyton Turner, I don't know. I've got one really big highlight from him, and that's the block kick in against the Falcons in week one. Other than that, there was a few sacks here and there, but nothing that I was really impressed by from him. So, yeah, he's a guy that I'm hoping, too, that we're talking about more come training camp or whenever we do our stock update. And, yeah, the arrow's going way up with him because, yeah, definitely needs to in that rotation along the D-line. You mentioned, you know, there's guys like Passanio and whatnot, Granderson, but you spent the first round pick on this guy. He's got to be on the field and available.
I agree with that. And, you know, you talk about Marcus Davenport, and I think if you want to compare him to anybody in terms of I'm not sure about his commitment level and how much he actually enjoys the game of football.
Right. That's so crazy. That's
who I'd compare him to, because I never was convinced that Marcus Davenport really enjoyed the game of football. You know, I was always questioning, like, is he working hard? You know, does he care? Because, you know, and he's a little aloof and you kind of got that impression. And I don't know, some players are just like that. Some guys, you know, might seem that way and you don't see what happens behind the scenes. But then you have an entire season where you have a half sack and you're like,
and to me,
something's not computing here.
To me with Davenport, yeah. He had so much self-doubt and I don't think he ever got over that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the imposter syndrome, I'm sure, is pretty strong there. But yeah, I think that's where we can wrap it up. I think we've covered a lot of ground in this episode, got a lot of mileage out of it. This is Inside Black and Gold. We're going to be out there back on Tuesday? I think the practices for minicamp are Tuesday, Thursday.
Yeah. There
for all three of those days. So, you know, there's going to be a good bit of content to pull out of it. I know Steve is taken off, so might be some solo environments here on the pod, but we'll get it done.
Yeah, unfortunately had this plan before dates came out with camp. Out of everything to miss, it's like, great, now I'm missing mandatory minicamp when there's three sessions to access.
That's all right. I'll suffer through. But yeah, so thanks everyone for listening. Hit the subscribe button. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Steve Geller. We have a Twitter account now. Go check it out at Saints_pod. Easy to remember. And yeah, we'll be coming at you early next week for, you know, more Saints practice content. As always, check out WWL.com for latest content. And thanks, y'all.
I guess you got to say now to like, subscribe, and follow.
Like, subscribe, and follow.
Who dat?